encountering faith-filled believers means we talk about faith-filled things. Not necessarily where we're all talking about faith struggles. We want everybody to hear my faith struggles. So I'm having a real hard time, especially if, you know, someone's out there going, I'm having a huge hard time with gossip, and I'm having a terrible hard time with really being angry and treating my spouse horribly. Well, maybe that's not the conversation we want to really, you know, loudly speak about and hope that all the visitors hear us. I get that. But what do we want to talk about? You know, it doesn't even matter what the guy babbling on for an hour is saying up here. And this guy really needs some help because he really babbles on far too long. But what matters is when your eyes glance over whatever scripture your Bible is open to, who's really your teacher? The Spirit of God is your teacher. And that's why I often laugh, because sometimes people come, that was a great message on this. And that was one sentence out of a 30-minute presentation. But that's what the Spirit hit them at, and that's what the Spirit had their minds thinking on. And in fact, then their mind went over here, and they really think the whole message was about this, and it couldn't be the furthest thing from what the message was on at all. And you're like, well, who did that? How could they have missed it? They didn't misread anything. What they had was the Spirit hitting them right where they needed something. And I think that is the most awesome. It makes me kind of giggle. I don't ever say anything, well, that's not really what I'm just like, that's really great. You know, I'm just, you know, thanking God for that. I don't ever tell them that's not what the message is about. I should put a note sheet in so everyone can follow. And that's not the case. I'm really glad when that happens. Ecstatic. Because that means the Spirit is taking over, and that's what we want in a service. I could babble on till I'm dead about who cares. When the Spirit speaks, that's who you listen to. But if we're not talking about those things, there is no encountering Jesus Christ. All it is the same thing I would find at the water station at my workplace, the same thing I find with who knows who, friends out in society, the same thing I'd find in a same conversation. There's nothing different is what I'm saying. So think about that, encountering Jesus Christ. To encounter Christ, we've got to have him on our lips. You've got to be showing. That's back to the vibrance, point one, right? There's a show and there's a tell. And that's what we want in a church. What do you expect when you walk into a church facility? What kind of conversation do you expect? So it's not going to be offensive to them if they don the door, remember? And even if it isn't a visitor, what do you and I need when we come together as believers? What do you and I want to walk away from church having had? Yes, not just a great conversation about whatever, but something that really touched our heart and faith. Why else do we come? Why else do we come? Because we're supposed to. Got to check the clock, you know, punch the thing. People are going to notice I wasn't there. Not the case. Not the case. So, vibrant Christian community, encountering Christ, empowering faith-filled living. Ah, what is that? What is the fundamental component? Yes, yes, it is a share of the Holy Spirit. You're exactly right, a share of the Holy Spirit. And what is the predominant way that the Spirit ministers through you to other people? The Word is one. In fact, that's the primary. There's a secondary with the Word. That kind of goes with the Word, right? Gifts, your spiritual gifts. Empowered gifts. Now, I tell you, I'm not certain necessarily what Mrs. Kennedy's spiritual gifts are, but I bet exhortation is really at the top of the list. I'm almost going to be positive about that, because there is not a Sunday come through that this dear lady does not excitedly try to interject faith in people and just exhort them with exuberant happiness. And she could have just come from a doctor's appointment where the worst news was given, and she's walking out of there, God's will, you know, hey, and off she goes. There's a second person like that, and she doesn't like to be called out or pointed attention to, but that's Mrs. Verner. If you ever sit and talk to Mrs. Verner, and you ask her how these cancer treatments are going and how the latest step was and what this happened, she's going to recite to you a verse out of Romans, and she's going to talk to you about the hope of Christ and that hope that God has given her, and she's going to stand strong on that thing like you've never seen, and you're going to be like, I don't think I stand as strong on that verse as she does. If you ever talk to Nanette, here's what she's going to tell you. I had an opportunity to visit this person, this person, this person, all three of whom used to come to our church but don't anymore, but I had an opportunity to sit and chat with him today, a real good spiritual conversation. Just a blessing to be there. What am I explaining? Now, these are all ladies that I'm looking at, and I'm thinking, okay, they have somewhere in their gift set has to be exhortation. It has to be. Maybe it's not your gift, but you have a strong gift elsewhere. Empowered, faith-filled living is just that. You are actively empowered by the Spirit, and your gift is just operation, 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 operation. And you're an operation. And then finally, say, are we going to ever go anywhere? Yes, we are. Finally, what is an active component of active service? Or fundamental component, excuse me, a fundamental component of active service? Absolutely. Using the gifts, serving. Whatever capacity God's gifted you to serve, serve. Serve. And sometimes that gift is of a physical nature, you know, like the people who give gifts, who have the gift of giving. That's a very physical, tangible thing. But not everybody gives. Some people have that gift of empathy. And, you know, they really feel deeply with people. It's almost like they're going through it themselves. They can literally feel with you, and you're amazed at how they can do that. You're like, I have no idea. Other people have different gifts. There are a lot of different gifts, varying gifts of the varying spirit. And so it's putting all that in use and finding a way to continue to minister with it. When does that happen? Sunday morning, Wednesday evening. Well, yeah. Does it happen elsewhere? Outside of that? So you say, this is our vision. If we're going to be a vibrant Christian community where people can encounter Jesus Christ, be empowered to live out their faith, and actively serve the needs of those around us, seeing lives transformed and strengthened by the love and grace of God, we have to look at the components of that and say, where are we? Where are we in the vibrance section? Where are we in the gospel spread? Where are we in the conversation, not just the show, but the tell of Jesus Christ when we come together? Where are we in the level of our gifts and exercising them? And where are we in just general service? How can we meet the needs of those around us if, A, we don't know them, or B, when we do know them, we just are like, oh, boy, it would sure be nice someone to do something about that. And that's it. Because James tells us about that kind of person who sees his brother have need but does nothing. So think on these things. These are kind of our visions. So then my next question is, what are the challenges to this, and how can we overcome them? In other words, what are the challenges to any of these points? What are the challenges? I would agree with that. How, though, specifically? Amen, there we go. We get in the way. We prejudge a situation and don't act. That's one way. That's one challenge. And it's funny because Proverbs talks about the person who assumes to know the end of a matter before they really know it. And what does the Proverbs call that person? So, and it's not to say that we all need to be condemned as fools. I'm just saying that we don't ever relate it to those things. That's what we're doing. But that's what we're doing. We're judging a matter before we know it. And then thus we don't serve. That's one challenge. That's one challenge. Any others? Deb?
This is just an aside. There's a percentage of people in church who aren't even saved, but they dutifully come to church and go through emotions. So I would think in order to perform this way that we're talking about, there has to be a certain degree of sanctification that has occurred through salvation.
Yes. Truth.
The sacraments, there's the teaching, that, and then if it falls on deaf ears, But I just don't know how to judge a church by, people could see a person that's just useless in church and make a judgment about that, but the whole gestalt of the church is what you got to look at. But
yes.
So many churches and analyzed them and try to figure out what is wrong with this place or what is right about this place. It's very
And that is worthy. I love that you brought that up. Thank you, by the way. So you have this thing where you will notice, and sometimes we do notice, and we do think, I don't even know why that person comes here. That is just so strange. It seems like they're taken by every wind of doctrine except for the truth. And everything they argue about is for the lie and not the truth. Even though the truth is what is always going for, so every time, after every service, they have something to argue about the message, how it wasn't right. And every service they have, and you're like, what on earth? Why do these people? You know, you wonder. Because they're sitting here, and that type of thing. But at the same, so you can get the idea that there are people that are just, but you know what? That's the act of service. That's the one that needs that gospel conversation all the time. All the time. That's the one that the spiritual gift will come alongside and we'll talk about, you know what? You are talking about something that is neither here nor there right now. What is really the truth of this? And so you boil down their argument to its kernel and you hit it right with the gospel. Just bam, right in there. And they're like, oh. You know, so all that argument gets taken away and they just come right to the face-to-face with the truth and they can accept it or reject it. So there's a ministry opportunity in that, a lot of ministry opportunity. There's also discipleship ministry because it's not just unsaved, useless people. Sometimes it's saved, useless people who they haven't ever added to their faith, ever. And what does the scripture teach about those who don't add to their faith? The ones that don't do this are kind of like blind. They've forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. They live just like the rest of the world. You would never really be able to tell the difference. You kind of wonder, that's salvation. And so there's a discipleship opportunity. So either there's a salvation opportunity, there's a discipleship opportunity, and then others just need encouragement. They're useless because they don't know or too afraid to plug in. You know, I noticed this something about you. What if you did... Ta-da! And there's an art, you hand them an opportunity of service. Come with me, I'll do it with you. We'll do this together. We'll do this together. And so there's some hand-holding. You say, well, that's kind of discipleship in a way, but it's more helping them refine spiritual gifts, perhaps, that you're seeing or observing or kind of wondering if it's in them. So there's a lot of service opportunity when you come into that kind of situation. The other service opportunity is, if there are things wrong in that church, how do we address it? Because if we see a brother overtaken in a fault, whose responsibility is it to be spiritual and go move to restore that brother in the error? So there may be a corrective opportunity. But in humility and in love and in meekness, as the scriptures say, it's, believe me, it is easy for me personally to sum up a situation and walk in and lamb blast. Really easy. Every time I think to do that, the spirit goes, yeah, you are going to blow that situation sky high and it's going to end in disaster. So how about you do this instead? Especially with kids, my kids. I tell you what, I told them 1,000 times, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And what's the one thing they do? And then they want sympathy while they're hurting. No, I told you. You know, that's really black and white hard. So what's the right corrective measure? I always have to be checked by the Spirit when it comes to my poor children. You just ask them. you know, what's the right corrective measure and how to do this right so that you're getting people back to what pleases God, how they can be right with God, how they can please God, how they can stay pleasing God, you know, all these kinds of things. So what might need to be corrective? So these are all, but that's active service. That's really serving. You're serving a brother when you confront an error. You're serving a brother when you disciple, or sister. You're serving church folk, God's people, when you're gospel, you're trying to be faith-filled with the gospel and just interject exhortation and encouragement and hope in their lives. You're serving them. You're serving them. And then when you have activities that do that, like at the beginning of the school year, we know that Coe's school down there is going to need at least 50 different backpacks full of materials because there are at least 50-some kids in sixth grade that can't afford the stuff. So, you know, maybe we do a backpack drive and we personally go down there and deliver it to these classrooms so they know that people love them. They're from Grace Bible Church. Who knew a church actually loved you enough to come gather backpacks? Here you go. Have this stuff. And will they break it and destroy it? Well, of course the kids will. They're sixth graders. What do you expect? But you love them and you showed them love. And then maybe through those kinds of community acts of service, maybe after so long of being in the community where they start to recognize your name because you do enough of that, they'd say, man, God really works to that church. Those people really do love God. I've just never gone. And so what happens? You lifted Christ up. He magnetized them in, and now they want to come see what it's about. Not to fill things in a church. That's not the goal. It's not to fill up the church so we have numbers. That has never been the goal, and it will never be the focus. The goal is transformation of life and ministry. Without the people, there is no ministry. It just isn't there. So what's the greatest thing about the ministry? People. What's the worst thing about the ministry? People. But there's an opportunity in all of it. So thank you for bringing that up, because you're right. You're exactly right. So it's our thing, not to necessarily judge the church so much, is what are the challenges to this? How do we overcome it? How do we overcome these challenges? How do we overcome non-vibrance? How do we overcome not encountering Christ, no gospel conversation? How do we overcome lack of spiritual gift use? How do we overcome lack of service? How do we overcome challenges that might be in any of this stuff? And I love the fact that Steve put it right out there. He's like, listen, there might be opportunities we're passing over because we prejudge a situation wrongly. And it's just like, did the Lord lay it on your heart? Yes, then I'm going to just do it. And you guys are awesome at that, because you will. I've seen you do it. You just do. So it's like, oh, praise God. Praise God. So this is vision. That's just one part of it. There's obviously many more. So the idea is attract, encounter, empower, serve, see change. That's a measure of the Spirit. But if we're actively ministering as we ought, and we're doing exactly what God's commanded us to do, obviously he needs to do the work of heart. We do that outward work that he uses to transform the heart. That's that relationship that God has with us, right? He calls us to do something. Does he really need us to do it? No, he could do it all himself. But he chooses to partner with us to do physical things, and he brings about the result. And that's what we're looking for. So the idea is to accomplish this vision, we have to overcome a few challenges, overcome a few hurdles. And then we'll get into, actually our time is pretty much gone in 4 minutes, but we'll get into next week the idea of our mission, because our mission has three different components to it. And then from our mission, we'll look at some value sets. But the idea is, what I want to plant out is our ministry does need growth. And yes, please let me be upfront. It is God's work to grow, is it not? Am I going to create some grand thing where people are all of a sudden going to start coming and we're going to have this huge... No. The Spirit needs to do that. Please let me be clear. This is obviously God's work. But what has God called us to do? Go. Teach. Baptize. Do the work of the ministry is what he's called us to do. So while it is his work, and he needs to change the hearts and bring people through the door, divinely encounter folks, we also need to be in line with him. Our speech needs to be seasoned with salt. Our actions need to reflect Jesus Christ, because no man has seen the Father, but they sure see you and I. And they'll see the Father through us. And we need to do so in a way that God is lifted up, and then he can start drawing men to himself. That's the goal. That's long been the goal. So how can you and I, this is what the thought we're going to leave with today. According to our vision, how can you and I, what does the Spirit might put in our hearts? Maybe we need to think and pray about this, but how can you and I be the lifter up of Christ? How do we lift him up? How will we do that today? Because we're sitting here. And if we're sitting here, God's intended for the gifts of the ministry to come from Pastor Baker to us. God's intended the gift of the ministry to come from Rick to us. God's intended the gifts of ministry to come from Mrs. McCarthy to us, Mrs. Kennedy to us, Trevor back there to us. God's intended all the gifts to work in this body today. But all they do is one thing. They lift up Christ. So how can we do that? Any comments or questions before we close? I know this is all cursory, right? It's all way up here. And that's why I've asked the question, so that we can bring it, filter it down to literal, not just I see that, but I'll do it. Any comments or questions before we close? Okay, so vision done. Next week we'll work on mission. That's on the front of our bulletin, so it's no shock to you what that mission of the church is. But let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for the opportunity to talk just super, super practical today. And Lord, we would ask that you would take these ideals that sound great on a piece of paper and make for a real nice sentence. And Lord, that you would just burn them into our hearts to how you would have us do this, how you would have us be, how you would have our lives to be transformed so that we might be that shining light, the light of the world, as well as the salt of the earth that savors. that really reflects and speaks Jesus Christ in strength of faith and encouragement and salvation. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.